The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, and not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of Rome, I would say about 30 minutes drive south, is an abbey called Abbazia delle Tre Fontane. It's the Abbey of the Three Fountains. That's the place where St. Paul was beheaded. And according to legends, the Three Fountains appeared because after they cut off his head, the head fell to the ground and bounced three times. And the place where it hit three times sprung forth fountain. So they made a mark, and these are the three fountains right there. Of course, the fountain is dried now, but pilgrims still go to the abbey and pray there. I thought of that because of the second reading today in Romans 8. That reading was astonishing because there Paul poured forth his heart, saying that I had gone through all of these kinds of suffering, imprisonment, deprivation. I was in the middle of the sea, stranded there for overnight, and many, many other sufferings. And yet, in all of that, he confesses, "But nothing can dissever me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God." Why was he able to say that? Why does, in spite of all of the sufferings, in the face of all the most horrible sufferings, he can say, nothing can separate me from the love of God? Well, that is rooted in the understanding that St. Paul, just like you and me, all of us baptized, are now inserted and are part of the covenant. A covenant. You know, we don't think and talk about that very, very readily and mostly in our preaching and in our ordinary church life. But that covenant is very important because through the lens of the covenant, we begin to understand our relationship with God. In the first reading, Isaiah said, "Those of you who are thirsty, come, there is water. All of you who have no money, come, I will give you great food." And in the end, Isaiah said, "And I will renew with you the covenant I had made." And so even Isaiah is speaking that the providence of God, the provisioning of God to his people flows out of the covenant. And covenant is a relationship which God established between him and his people. The covenant is similar to our loving relationship with our family. Because precisely that's what covenant is. The covenant establishes a relationship. It establishes a familial bond, a familial relationship in which the parties of the covenant are now committed to each other faithfully. That's the covenant. And we are bound to the Lord in covenant. Now, there had been several covenants all throughout history. There were six of them, beginning with Adam, to Abraham, to Noah, to Moses, to David, and then finally, the new covenant in Jesus Christ. And so those relationships, those family bonds, remember the word, family bonds are established, and that's how God relates to us. You know, we all understand what family bonds are. You know, the reason why it took me too long to enter the priesthood was because of my remembrance, of my memory, with the bonds that I have with my family. As someone who is able to help them, that bond that I have with my family is such that it compels me to help my family who were back in the Philippines. I never forgot them. You know, they get allowance from me supporting my younger siblings in their college years, because there is that covenant between me and my brothers and sisters and my parents. The same thing with your commitment to your family, to your loved ones, and that even extend to friends. That is a covenant. And like I said, the Lord established that covenant from the very beginning, from Adam all the way to Jesus Christ, all the way to Jesus Christ. Now, that bond, that covenant, which the Lord had established all through the ages, of course, it has terms, it has many characteristics, but one outstanding characteristic of the covenant that seals the relationship, that makes God and his people committed to each other, there is a right. There is a sacrificial right that happens. And we don't have to go through all of the six covenant and how the rites were done. But basically, there's a liturgy that happens. We are in a covenant with God. And that covenant with the Lord is through Jesus. That is why we hear in the Eucharistic prayer the words, "This is the blood of the new covenant." We are in a new covenant with the Lord. And like I said, every covenant has a sign that seals that relationship. What is the sign of the new covenant? The Eucharist. That's what we do every time we come to Mass. We renew that covenant. That's exactly what Isaiah was saying in the first reading today. I will renew with them the covenant that I have with them. And that's what we're doing at Mass. The prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled every time we come to Mass. The covenant is being fulfilled. And so, what happens then in the renewal of the covenant? Well, there is a reminder of our relationship with God. It's like us saying, "Lord, we are your children." And God comes back and says, "Yes, you are my children, and I will provide for you." And that is why in the first reading, like I said, the Lord can say, "You're thirsty? Come. You're hungry? You have no money? Come." That is our Father who is committed to us through the covenant. Now, we see in the gospel today Jesus establishing that covenant. Like I said, the establishment of the covenant was sealed by a sign through the Eucharist. The gospel that was read to us today is a Eucharistic celebration. And it graphically shows us how the Lord provides for his people. You see here, Jesus was mourning the death of John the Baptist. And so he went away to maybe a quiet place to reflect and maybe even to cry. So he went away, but the people have heard. He went into a boat and then sailed across the lake. And the people heard that he was leaving, that he's going somewhere else. And so what did they do? Jesus is going to the opposite side of the lake. And so the people, they ran around the lake and met him there. And with this, the Lord was very moved. They need a shepherd. They want to be led. And so the Lord, moved by this, he showed compassion to them, and then he began to teach them. And then he realized that they're far away from a Taco Bell or El Polo Loco. They said, "You provide for them." Told the apostles, "You provide for them. You feed them." But the apostles said, "This is all we have. Just a few loaves and a few fish. How will this feed? 5,000 men, not counting women and children." That's just how they speak during those times. We know that in a gathering like this, there's more women than men. Okay. Amen. So what this is saying? There's a big crowd. There was a big crowd. And so how can this feed them? That is emblematic of our experience. Our experience is such that we have very little means to surmount whatever challenges we have in our lives. The sufferings that we have, the sufferings that St. Paul expressed in the second reading, we have very, very few or small, negligible means of surmounting them. But Jesus says, "Here, bring them to me. Bring them to me." And what did the Lord do? Well, he multiplied. He multiplied that in and through the seal of the new covenant in the Eucharist. Why can we say that? Well, watch and listen to the language of Matthew, the way he described what happened. He says, and the Lord said, "Bring them here to me." And taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowd. That's the movement of the Eucharist. He took the five loaves. That's offertory. He took when I stand there and take the bread and the wine from the congregation, he said the blessing. That's the Eucharistic prayer. Listen to the Eucharistic prayer being said by the priest. That's a thanksgiving. And then he broke the loaves. There's the breaking of the bread at the moment of a Lamb of God. And then finally, it's being given out to the people. That's the sign of the new covenant that we are in. And every time we receive the sign of the new covenant, then we are fed. We are given power to be able to go on through life, so that very much like St. Paul, we can say nothing can separate us from the love of God, because we receive the seal of that covenant. And by the way, some note here. After they ate, it said they were all satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets. Now, that is significant. The 12 wicker basket stands for the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel. The new Israel is now being reconstituted, and so Jesus is gathering. You know what's going to happen next? In the next chapter, they will now move to a Gentile territory. That's our territory. Non-Jewish. And Jesus will perform another miracle the same as this. Multiplication of loaves. The Eucharist once again. And so the Lord is moving from the Jewish Jewish folks, the Jewish community, and moving that into the Gentile community to include all of us. See, that's the love of God. That's the mercy of the Lord. The Lord wants to, like a good mother, the Lord wants to provide for all of our needs. And that is why the Eucharist is important, because it renews in us God's relationship with us. He commits himself completely to us when we receive him in the Eucharist. And so, my friends, this is good news. This is good news. We have a food that sustains us. By the way, I just remembered, to those of you who are fans of the Lord of the Rings, you know, remember that movie, that literature is a Catholic literature, and it's shot through with images of Catholic themes. You remember that scene where Frodo was given the bread of the elves called Lembas from Galadriel, the queen of the elves. And that bread was the thing that they ate when they were in the land of Mordor, the land of suffering, and it sustained them. It's not an allegory, but Tolkien say it's a parallel universe that speaks of the reality of the Christian imagination in that form of literature that he did. It's food for the journey, viaticum. And so, if you are tired or weary, come to him. Come to him and be fed by his body and blood, the food for the journey that will take us home.